CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Tatum takes it. Makes it.
Oh, Hayward.
That's tough.
Flex on him, Jaylen Brown.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
Hello to all my listeners out there. This is the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Media. The leading audio video coverage site for the Boston Celtics. And honestly, for your Patriots, for your Bruins, it's a great spot too. CLNSmedia.com. Check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/CLNSradio. We used to be CLNS Radio 10 years ago. Here we are, 11 years later. Still doing the Celtics postgame show. Happy 2020, everybody. I think this is my first show of 2020. And, of course, I have the great Joe Choquette by my side, who's been doing an amazing job, not only this year, but last year as well. I think this is the second season on the show now. So welcome, Joe. We have a 99-94 loss. Great, especially considering this is one of the teams we're talking about. Can 11-24 hapless, I'd say. You know, they can certainly put points on the board. We know what Isaiah Thomas is capable of, and boy, it is a joy to see him out there with some moves reminiscent of what he used to do here in Boston. But no Bradley Beal. We all know Bradley Beal is what makes it happen there in Washington. He's sitting on the bench injured, like much of the league is now, which is unfortunate into 2020. And the Celtics, frankly, get lit up to close this game. And in the first half, especially that first quarter, could not find the bottom of the bucket against a team that gives up over 120 many nights, gave up 140 to this team earlier in the season. I believe that was a November game that these two played. And, you know, I guess we can't complain. The Celtics have lost nine. I mean, the Celtics have won 9 of 10. But here we are with a bad loss to cap that stretch off, and we have to talk about it. We have to be tough on them because we have big expectations for the team this year. And falling asleep in a game like this in a great league, even without Kemba Walker in this one. So welcome aboard. What were some opening thoughts you had on this one?
Hey, Bobby. Thanks for having me on. I guess if you were to encapsulate the evening as I streamed it from Raleigh, North Carolina tonight on the app, you would call it the game of missed opportunities. Slow start, couldn't get the buckets to drop to begin. Then they just kind of played basically with the exception of the third quarter. They played even basketball the rest of the way, which is not good when you need to chip away at an 11-point lead. And they had a couple of runs. Don't get me wrong. They pieced together a few runs in this game where they dropped that lead down to nil, tied it up, but never quite had the right opportunity or the right guy stepping up, getting hot at the right time tonight. Overall, you know, I didn't expect this outcome after watching them miraculously get through a back-to-back without Kemba, home and away. They did. And then they came into tonight and I figured a day off, maybe Kemba comes back. Reports are, you know, he's still feeling, you know, out of sync right now. So he was a no-go for tonight. And unfortunately, I think you missed the offensive output that Kemba Walker can bring to this team. And yeah, you're right. It was nice to see IT out there shaking those hips like he used to back when he wore green.
Oh, man.
But
it is fun seeing him out there.
It really is. He's one of my favorite former Celtic players. He's one of those guys that had endeared himself to the city and the city endeared itself to him. And you know, I honestly believe that, you know, should there be a time when Marcus Smart moves on from the Celtics, he'll have that same, you know, lack of an adjective here, je ne sais quoi. He'll have that same type of mutual love back and forth between him and the fan base here in the city. But yeah, just, you're right. Bradley Beal's hurt. The NBA as a whole looks like the walking wounded right now. But I really think the Celtics had an opportunity here. Another quiet night. Even though Hayward dropped 18 the other night, it was the quietest 18 I've ever seen him drop. Tonight, another quiet night from Hayward. And these are the type of games, Bobby, and I was talking when I did this with Snotty last game, these are the games when you don't have a Kemba or you have a Tatum who's not having an offensive output type night, where you need a Hayward to step into that scoring position. And I don't see that in his game anymore. I know he's capable of doing it. I've seen him drop 30 dimes before. I just don't see it right now.
We're not seeing that same aggressive Kemba that we did early in the season, who was scoring from all three levels, who looked like the best player on this team. And that probably has something to do with getting back into the cohesion with these other two players that are performing so well right now in Brown and Tatum. And I did see Tatum go off for that stretch toward the end of the third, beginning of the fourth quarter, where he was getting to the basket, getting out in transition. He had that sick move on Isaac Bamba, where he had the little shoulders, you know, push into him and then leaned away shooting. He scored about, you know, 4 or 5 buckets during that stretch that got them back within 3. That made me feel like the Celtics were just going to turn this game around there and run away with it. And Washington had the answer in this one. And it was Ish Smith, who had one of the weirder traditions in the NBA. Apparently, so there, it was a couple of nights ago, Washington was playing, and there was a weird play. I think they were playing Dallas, where Isaiah was on the sideline, and he got shoved, and then he shoved himself into the ref, and it looked like he gave the ref a little shove right there. So he got ejected from that game. And Ish Smith apparently has some weird routine where he starts the game in the locker room, and he uses the bathroom, and then, like, when the game's going, like, 3 minutes in, he runs out, and because he comes off the bench. So, whatever that is, it worked in this one because he came out and was just killing the Celtics start to finish in that second half. Whatever dribble moves he had to put on the wings, he was blown by all of them. He was using the transition game to his advantage. And it had been a while, Joe, since we'd seen this. But watching the Celtics over the years, you get used to these bench, you know, 7th or 8th guys on a team just coming out of nowhere and lighting them up, and the Celtics not having an answer for them. I don't think there was another game this year I can remember quite like this one. But in recent years, this was the norm. A guy like Ish Smith coming into the game and completely lighting them up. He hit 12 of his first 14 shots. He was getting to the rim on the wing at will. And it was a great reminder, Joe, of how important the wings are to the team defensively. Behind them to back them up. All the way to have whoever Schmidt was getting 12 of 18, 27 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. I mean, that was the difference right there in this game. The Celtics didn't have anyone going at that rate.
No, Ish Smith had himself quite the game tonight. Just was unblockable. I mean, he was undefendable. That's the best way to put it. And he was having his way with whoever was switching off of him. And one of the positives, and Bobby, we've done shows together. You know that when I'm not feeling Brad's coaching style, I'm not afraid to talk about it. One of the things I'll give Brad a lot of credit for tonight was he kept trying to find an answer for him. Kept trying to find an answer off switches, off, you know, throwing a double team, switching into the zone. He was really coaching his ass off to try to find a way to stop Ish Smith from really just taking this game like he did. He basically took it over. Between him, I mean, Thomas had 17, McRae had 19, and Bonga had 10. Those are your primary scorers for Washington tonight. But it was really, as you pointed out, Ish Smith with 27 points in 31 minutes. It was nuts.
Ish Smith out of Wake Forest joined the league in 2010, about a decade ago. He has played for 11 different teams. I mean, he's on his way to playing for half the league. And They were asking Isaiah after, like, how does this guy get overlooked when he's capable of having a night like this? And he said he's another short guy. I mean, this guy's 6 feet tall, 175 pounds, but he's able to get his shot off, and he's able to drill it in the in-between area there. And he's having a pretty good year for Washington, 46%. He is 37% from three, which is a little above average. So, I mean, he's probably found himself his 12th team, as has Isaiah, who's probably heading in that direction now too. This Washington team
right.
is something else, Joe. I mean, they're still coached by, I think, Scott Brooks, the old Thunder coach, is still coaching there.
Yeah.
Everybody has the green light. Defense is an option, and they just put up as many shots as they can any single night. And I think last time I checked, they were in the top three of scoring offenses in the NBA. They might have slid a little bit off of that since, but they're dangerous. They were one of the most dangerous weak teams to run into in the NBA. You can't overlook this team, even though their crowd is kind of non-existent.
No, I'm with you. I mean, when you look at the final team stats from tonight's game, Bobby, it was as even gets, with the exception of offensive rebounds. Other than that, total rebounds, slight edge to the Celtics. Offensive rebounds, Celtics doubled the output. But defensively, they're within a rebound of each other. Assists, they're within an assist of each other. Steals, within a steal of each other. Blocks, within a block. Turnovers, the edge went to Washington with 14 over the 16 that the Celtics had.
Yeah,
but when you
that's
look
tough.
At that overall, yeah, that was an even game of missed op. That's why I titled it Missed Opportunities, because what it really came down to was percentage. And where we the Celtics, not that I play for them, but if I did, where they suffered tonight the hardest was in the three from behind the arc. They were 8 for 37 tonight. 21% or just under 22% from behind the arc is not going to get it done on any night in the NBA, let alone, you know, the middle of the, or the beginning of the week in January. They, you know, that's an anomaly, because this team typically shoots far better than that from behind the arc. But tonight was a 21% output versus a 33% output. When you look at your field goal percentage, Celtics just under 35%, 34.7, and the Wizards at 46.5. So those two stats alone, they had better shots, better selections, and better efficiency from within the arc and from behind the arc. And ultimately, if you can't match that, that's how you lose games.
This looked reminiscent of some games we'd seen the last few years when the wings weren't in sync, maybe even going back to those Isaiah years where they didn't have great shooters. They were producing great shots often during those years. But when you had Jay Crowder and some of those other guys, not to knock Jay Crowder, I love him. He's going to make a difference on a playoff team this year when Memphis decides to trade him. Yeah, but those guys weren't knockdown shooters. I mean, now we have Brown, we have Tatum, we have even Smart's made himself a pretty good shooter. So there's option after option who can knock down those quality shots. And tonight was finally one of those nights where everybody went cold at the same time. I'm not going to knock. Here's the thing about Hayward. It's almost like Al Horford to some degree. This guy wants to go out there and make plays. I'm gonna give Hayward a little bit more of a defense on a night like this, because here's the thing. They were getting into the lane a lot in this game, and the Wizards were collapsing time and time again. They weren't afraid to foul in there. They had a couple big men who were rotating in so they could use those fouls. Ian Mahaney, even the guy Anzez Pasenix, I think that's how you say it. I mean, he was in there rotating too, and he was plus 11. So I think what those guys did so well is they collapsed on the drivers, and when a guy like Tice, when a guy like Grant Williams was trying to slip behind and catch those dump offs from Hayward and others, they were getting back there and recovering and making plays on them. And, you know, what was Boston at the free throw line in the 76%? So, I mean, they leave 6 points there in what was ultimately a 5-point game. You're not going to hit every free throw, but they were willing to send them to the line, miss a few there, and that's the game. You know, missed threes as well, 8 for 37 in this one. Very flat out there. It's all you put it a great way, Joe. Lost opportunities in this one because it felt like the Wizards were throwing the ball away in the lane again and again in their own right. And for Boston to have more turnovers than them was a little surprising to me, just from giving it the eye test.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the one of the things that I found completely infuriating is when you were watching the game, it absolutely seemed like Washington was, they were anticipating plays for players that were already gone off the spot when the pass was being thrown. And those were perfect opportunities that we've seen the Celtics in the last 10 games capitalize and jumping those passing routes, jumping those lanes, grabbing that steal. And it just, there were sputters of it in this game, but there wasn't the consistency of it. And, you know, one of the other points I wanted to bring up from tonight's game was where you're playing, the Celtics are playing every other night, basically from now until the middle of February when they go to the All-Star break.
That's a great point.
Don't you start managing your bench a little bit more and getting a better minute spread out there? I mean, I think I work it into every podcast. I'm on the Javonte Green train. I just think he needs minutes. That's kind of my thing with him. I get it. He's 26. He should be developed like he is, but there's a spark. There's an energy. There's a change in vibe when he's on the court. I can, it's palpable. I can feel it. So I wonder when Brad starts really blending these minutes out, preserving a Hayward, preserving a Jaylen, preserving a Tatum. I think it's going to be with the wings, it's got to be when you get more consistent play out of Tatum, I guess, is when you can start rotating his position. I think Jaylen's proven himself as a consistent player now. Now, whether or not he's a guy that has to vibe and play every other night to keep that momentum going, I don't know. But I would like to see some of these other bench players letting these other guys catch a blow. Gordon Hayward, 38 minutes tonight. You know, that's a ton of minutes.
Glad you because this was the story of the Celtics through the first half of the year. They played fewer games than the NBA, and they were doing a stretch right here, and I was not even shocked that he had seen anything like a stretch. One game off here there between games, they had a bunch of late recently, just before the game. That's life break. It's going to be grueling. It's going to be hard. Lots of travel. Games ahead. And they have to manage themselves through this stretch. Brad Stevens is a coach who throws guys out there and lets them run, and they're giving maximum effort most nights. Fortunately for the Celtics, they've been destroying teams in such a manner lately on this 9-1 tear that they've been on that the fourth quarter has lent itself to being that rest time for them. So they have gotten that rest late in these games against teams like the Pistons and other groups that they've gone against, the Hornets that they've blown out a few times. So they've gotten it coming into the stretch, but when you're in the middle of it, are they going to be able to get that same kind of rest out to these players? They just came off a game on Friday that was harder than they expected against the Hawks, who were at the bottom of the East. So everybody's grinding late into that game. The Bulls are up next the next night. And, you know, Vegas looks at it and says, all right, we're going to give the Bulls favorites in this one. Kemba's out again, back to back. But Brad's like, all right, strap up. You know, no excuses. We're going into this one back to back. That's going to be life now. And they had another challenging one in that one. So you're seeing life get a little more difficult against these easy teams, Joe. I want to say they're 16-2 now against teams that are below 500. And they certainly have more coming up, like the Pelicans on Saturday. Who else is ahead on the docket here? Just at a quick glance. You know, the Spurs and 76ers are above 500 teams. But then you get the Bulls, Pistons after that. So, I mean, three of the next six are against teams that are below 500 like that. But, you know, at going out to Philadelphia and then seeing the Pelicans, Bulls, and Pistons after that in such a short span, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, are they going to be able to consistently beat down those teams the way they have? I mean, they're going to stay at the top of the East.
They're absolutely going to have to. And I talked to Snotty about this because I had the pleasure of doing the Hawks game on Friday night. And I called the Celtics the 2019-2020 regular season Celtics right now are possibly the most entertaining NBA game to watch night in and night out. And that's not necessarily a compliment. What I mean by that is they have a remarkable ability to play up to the talent on the court that they're playing, but they also have an equal potential and opportunity to play down to the competition that they're playing. And it's a very slippery slope. And you look at other professional sports and they call them trap games. They call them, you know, they talk about it playing down to your competition, getting burnt. It seems like this team survives those, but damn, Bobby, it's the most entertaining Friday night. That should have been a snoozer. It should have been a total snooze fest. Atlanta comes in here with 7 wins. It's the fresh start. Celtics come off, what, 3 days off prior, come into the game. Yeah. They should have blowed them out by like 30. But no, what we got was probably the most entertaining Friday night NBA game I've watched so far this year. And it went down to the final second. It was awesome to watch. But I wonder if you're not spreading those minutes, if you continuously have these high leverage games, game in and game out, to your point, even on the teams you should be beating up on, what do you have left when you get to the end of the season? You know, it's entertaining to watch. I don't think it's sustainable long-term.
Certainly. And in most of the year, Brad has done a good job with this. We've seen Hayward, Brown, Tatum. Those guys have been playing 30 minutes max for most of this year. And then into this game, that's when you start to see it creep up a little bit. And honestly, of late, you've seen it creeping up with Hayward in particular. He goes for 38 in this game, 34 in the Chicago game, 37 against Atlanta. And the last five games, he's been above 30 minutes. Before that, 4 of his last 5 games, he was under 30 minutes. And he was just getting back from injury then, so there was probably a little bit of a restriction in that capacity with him. Ended up missing 3 games after his return. So he might not be the best example in that regard, but it does show the slow uptick in minutes that those wings have to bear. And honestly, I've talked about this on this show too, Joe. Those guys on the wing bear so much on this team. We've given Kemba a lot of credit for what he's done. You know, we've given the centers a ton of credit, maybe more than they do because of the fact that these wings are doing a lot of the work for them on the perimeter, on many plays, forcing steals by jumping passing lanes, making blocks themselves coming around on the weak side. I mean, these guys do it all for this team. And when the burden gets even higher on them and you have 3 games in 4 days, as the Celtics just had, you're going to see more performances like this, probably 4 of 11 from Hayward, 8 of 20 from Tatum, 7 of 22 from Jaylen Brown. And it's the 3-point numbers that are most jarring. Those guys combined 4 for 19. It's just 19. Not great. Yeah.
Hey,
smart 3 of 10 in his own right.
29 and put, yeah. So you could go 7 for 29 by putting Smart in there. That's not good.
All right. So we'll get the callers in here. I see a loaded board, which is a great thing to see on a Monday night. It's 10 o'clock here on the East Coast, 7 o'clock on the West Coast. So wherever you are, pick up your 347-217-7771. It hasn't changed in 10 years, so you know it. It's in your phones. And we'll talk to you on the other side of this break, recorded by our own Joe Choquette.
Tonight's episode of the Celtics Post Game Show on CLNS Media is brought to you by HelloFresh. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. Get easy seasonal recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. All you have to do is cook and enjoy. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/CLNS80. And don't forget to enter the promo code CLNS80 at checkout. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit and a sponsor of the CLNS Media Celtics Postgame Show.
And welcome back in. You heard it here. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. And for people like me who work late into the night doing Celtics shows, covering Syracuse games, it is the best way to prepare yourself for a meal and prepare yourself to make the meal yourself, which is the two best things possible. Joe, the worst thing you can do is get stuck in the grocery store for an hour and a half when you're busy. And that's me. Like, I get distracted by everything in there. I'm looking all over the place. I'm going back and forth between the aisles 20 times to find one thing. The great thing about HelloFresh is that they prepare it all for you, and it's ready to go when it hits your doorstep. It's flexible. It's month by month. You can do healthy options. You can do not so healthy options. And when it hits your doorstep, it's all ready to go in the oven, hit the stove, go in the microwave. However you're going to prepare it, you get the satisfaction of making it yourself. And I love cooking. I just hate the preparation. The grocery store, chopping with the knife, I mean, it's dangerous. So HelloFresh, you can try it. I mean, if all you want to do is just give it a shot, we're going to help you out with that by giving you this offer, which is $80 off your first month. HelloFresh.com/CLNS80. Celtics win in this, or Celtics lose. They've been winning so much, I'm just prepared to say that. 99-94 is the final in this one. Celtics made a big run late in this one. They win the third quarter 32-23. They were within three in the fourth quarter. I mean, the pace of this game was just awesome, Joe. Even though it was a slog to start, I really enjoyed watching the second half. It was two excellent offensive teams. But ultimately, the difference was that early lead that the Wizards built. 11 points. They win that first quarter, 26-17. In a game as close as this one was, that's a big edge. I mean, those points are a nice little comfort later in the game as the Celtics are making that comeback. And the Wizards have a little bit more energy down the stretch to sustain what they had already built to that point.
Absolutely. I mean, it was the quintessential, you know, you touched on it. It was two offensive juggernauts going after it. Neither one scored triple digits tonight. You know what I mean? It was the game of missed opportunities. You admitted that that Washington plays defense by option. Like, if you want to play D, go nuts. Otherwise, shoot lights out. Celtics are actually known as being a slightly, you know, heavy defensive team, yet you go 99-94. It was missed opportunities. But, yes, the flow of the game, the pace of the game tonight was actually extremely entertaining to watch. You know, I don't know. I love watching Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown every time they're out there. I'm constantly watching their game, but more so this year, I'm watching the dichotomy of, I talked to Snotty about this on Friday. If you look at both of the wings, Bobby, and I'm glad I got you on the air to talk about it because I want your take on this. When you look at both wings, right, you can have a pretty intelligent argument about whose ceiling is higher. And you can take either side and you can make an intelligent argument as to why you think that player's ceiling is higher. However, I do believe that one of the two wings is ascending to whatever his ceiling is quicker than the other. That's not to say that the other ceiling isn't higher than his. I'm just saying that he's ascending quicker, and that's Jaylen Brown's maturation this year versus last year, versus Jason Tatum last year versus this year. So I really wanted to get your take. Do you see it similarly, or how do you see it?
I'm with you there. I definitely think that Jaylen Brown has that athleticism factor. And, I've talked to Tatum about it this year when I was at the Garden for that Pistons game. You know, they're both going for 50-point game in a game. How those guys connect so well and just have so much cohesion out there. Because, honestly, you know, they've butted heads with Marcus Morris out there on the wing a little bit last year. Gordon Hayward this year. You know, when all three of those guys are out there, all three of them aren't always thriving together. But it feels like Tatum and Brown are able to coexist to a greater degree than anyone else has out there on the wing over the years. And, you know, Tatum said as much. Brown's more explosive than he is. He's more athletic than he is. He can jump higher. He has all those tools at his disposal. It's just Tatum has what was the steadier thing going into this season. The skills, the footwork, all the things that you really need to build to be a consistent NBA player. And Brown, you know, those were things he had to work on all the way down to the level of dribbling. He was not a great dribbler at all as early as the beginning of this year in the preseason. And he's just reached new heights in that regard. He's balanced on his way to the rim. He has that nice new free throw delivery. There's a little bounce in it that gives him a little bit of rhythm, it feels like. I mean, he's just added the skill component that he needed to go along with his incredible athleticism. And I see the callers chomping at the bit to get in. We're about 45 minutes into the show here. We might as well roll them in here. 207. I know who this is. You're here on the Celtics postgame show. Anything you want to add to our conversation so far?
Yeah, you know what? It doesn't matter who we lost to. It's Blair in Maine, by the way.
Oh, yes. Hello, Blair.
What's going on? Oh, it's cracking, man. It doesn't matter who the heck we lost to. We lost to the Wizards, okay? And I got a song I'm going to play while I talk. Cause, I like a little 10 o'clock. Get me ready for some basketball pump up, because tomorrow I have to get ready to practice for Special Olympic basketball. So I play a little basketball, and then I have Special Olympic tryouts on Thursday. So I play basketball myself. It ain't easy to play basketball on the court. So you can't think that Celtics are going to have an easy game any night. So,
there you go, Blair.
Hey, Blair.
Damn, oh, man.
Blair.
You wanna,
that was great.
You want to chime in there?
Yeah, but I'll do it without the soundtrack in the background. I think he brings up some great points. It's always great to hear from Maine. It's one of the
we love Blair, the
beauties of doing this. Yeah, he's the man. I'm so rocked by that soundtrack.
He's bringing more to the table every night you hear him. And if you notice, if you listen to Boston Sports Radio, Blair does his thing. And it's not easy to get on some of these shows. It's a little easier to get on the Celtics postgame show. Not saying it's the worst show in town or the least popular. That's not true by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, we get the callers on. We're very caller friendly here. Other stations aren't. But Blair does his thing, and he's on all the shows all the time.
But we're burying the lead, Bobby. So I was so thrown off by the background music that we missed the content of his statement. And the content of the statement that I found intriguing, and I would like to know more about it. On Thursday, he has Special Olympics tryouts for basketball. So has he done this? I want that story. Has he done it before? Was he first cut, second cut? Did he actually make it to a practice squad? I need to know. There's a backstory.
All right, Blair.
He gave us something.
Blair, you're still on the line.
Yeah, I am. I'm right here.
All right,
Blair,
tell us more, my friend.
I got a story, okay? Let's start right here.
All
right. So in California, I'm playing basketball, Saddleback College, Community College, Saddleback College, Mr. Vio, California. I'm playing Special Olympic basketball. It ain't easy. I'm going against competition. I don't care. It ain't easy. So I'm going to do it again in Maine. It's not going to be easy. So I just give it my all. I try out. I make the team. I know I will. I'm confident. I got some good three-pointers I can make. Help the team out. Doesn't matter what place we get. We just go out there. We give it our all. I give it my all. And I make the team. I help them out. We get third, I don't care. We get second, I don't care. We get fourth, who cares? It's you go out there, you have fun, you play the game, and you give it your all, and it doesn't matter what place you come in because you just go out there, you have fun to play basketball, you give it your all, and that's what I want to do again. But I know there's going to be tough competition in Special Olympic basketball because I already went through it once. And I'm going to go through it again and again and again.
Hey, Blair, you said
nice. Well, Blair.
Yeah. You're a 3-point. What's your player comparison? I mean, who are you on the Celtics?
who do I compare to? Kyrie, maybe? I don't know, man. I mean, I get 30% maybe I get on my threes. If I can make two, the three to four in a row. Today I made two in a row.
Right.
When I was warming
up. Wish you best
of
luck.
I don't know. I could drain them. I could hit them.
Yeah, so do us a favor. Blair, do us a favor. Thanks for calling in tonight, but make sure to call in after your tryouts to let us know how it went. Thanks so much for calling in and to the show tonight. Bobby and I always appreciate hearing from you.
That's awesome. A little backstory on one of the callers. And hey, Blair's been calling in almost every night for a long time, so we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess we'll learn more about our callers every night as they start to call in more and more throughout this season. We have another one, 857, who will hop on the line in just a second here. But the playoffs are in full swing. If you want to get into the game with our exclusive betting partners, betonline.ag. I did a nice little parlay myself over this weekend that was successful, Joe. I'm not going to let people in on the secret. But if you want to try to replicate that success on your own, every spread, every total, winner and loser, straight, parlay, tease, it's all over at betonline.ag. Use our promo code CLNS50 and you'll get 50% back. Put in 20, that means you'll get 30. I haven't done math in about 4 or 5 years, Joe, but that sounds right, right?
That works for me. It sounds very accurate, and BetOnline is an awesome partner to have on the broadcast and an awesome service to use, especially if you're winning.
All right, 857 is here on the show. Celtics lose to the Wizards tonight. Any thoughts from you?
What's going on, fellas? Happy New Year. This is Joel. How we doing?
Joel, welcome
to
the Causeway Street Podcast, own as well as here on the post game show. Every night.
Yeah, man, I thought I'd chime in a little bit, man, because I feel like tonight was a bad loss. I mean, I get it, you know, the schedule and, you know, playing a certain amount of games and a certain amount of nights, but this was like Joe said earlier in the show, this was a trap game. No Bradley Beal, and then Ish Smith, you know, the Celtics killer comes in and does this thing. Like, what kind of Ish is that, you know? That's I don't know, man. I wasn't feeling this game at all, especially after
took us 3 minutes.
Especially after the fact that, you know, they shot way too many 3-pointers, and I get that's usually their MO, but against Chicago, they only put up like 19 attempts if I'm not mistaken, and tonight they did double that, and I think they just kind of thought they're gonna shoot their way into this game. They never led. You know, Jason Tatum,
right.
I don't know where he was at. And no free throw attempts whatsoever. I think he had like one rebound. And you know, I know Jaylen Brown didn't have that great of a shooting night, but at least he got to the free throw line 7 times and made all his free throw attempts. So, I mean, kudos to him. But, you know, tonight would have been a great Gordon Hayward night. Like, you know, reminiscent of the first game that Kemba sat out, this game would have been a good Hayward game to, you know, some playmaking was necessary in this game. And, I don't know. I just feel like the Celtics, you know, they let this one slip away, even though they only shot like 34% or something like that. This game is still winnable, and I don't know. They just let it slip away. I mean, you can't get these games back, especially if you're trying to close that gap with the Bucks. I mean, I don't know if that's what they're trying to do or not. But I mean, that's a good opportunity that I think they let slip away, being, you know, the third. I don't know now record wise, but they're, you know, for a while, and they've been like the third best team record wise in the NBA.
And they do have the Bucks coming up in about 6 games here, so they're closing in on what could have been a massive one against them. And all these games coming up are definitely winnable, you know. So they were able to get on massive stretches they did of late. They could have kept it rolling. It's tough to win every night in this league, though. And you know, Brad always says that. Blair just let us know that as well. It's never easy to win any game in this league. But you know, I'm with you, Joel, only from the fact that they were in this late, and they weren't able to convert in crunch time. They were settling for some jump shots. There wasn't a great amount of activity offensively down the stretch. Maybe guys were just burnt out. The starters played extensive minutes in this one, and there weren't a lot of contributions from the likes of Green, who only played 4 minutes. Cantor had a tough night. he was only able to go 19. And Grant gave them a nice contribution off the bench. That was about it. You know, Brad Wanamaker, 0-6 in this one. They needed more from him in this one without Kemba. This is my thing, guys. This bench has been so good all year, and I think it's a massive reason that the team has performed above expectations. But you look at who's on that bench. I mean, Celtics fans have been giving Tanner crap all year despite his production, so maybe he levels out at some point. Wanamaker's starting to get there for me. I mean, this is about 5, 6, maybe even 7 games in a row now where I feel like he's been pretty empty overall. So they've taken a hit at the point guard depth. Javonte Green, you know, he's good for those few minutes, maybe a few baskets here, but teams are starting to get a little adjusted to his explosion out there. And I think it's telling that Brad put Tremont Waters in this one with about 3:45 left in the third quarter when they needed that burst. And he played really well in this one. Steal, 3 of 6 from the field, got to the free throw line, Joel. Missed his threes, but it gave them some good energy overall. So how are you guys feeling about the bench overall, starting with Joe?
I think the bench is – oh, I'm sorry, Joel. You go first. My bad.
Go ahead, brother.
Similar names.
I'll jump in, Joel, and then please, you'll put real knowledge to it. But just from watching the team, from a fan's perspective, I don't have an issue with the bench at all. I think each player has a contribution that they bring that's unique and can be collaborative with the starters that are out there. I don't really have an issue with it other than I want Javonte Green to get more minutes. But one of the things – Bobby, and you know, we can circle back to this after, but I want to seize on what Joel mentioned about Jason Tatum not getting to the line, not getting to the free throw line at all. And then I just kind of scrolled further to the right when I was looking at the box score, 1 rebound. So here I was praising him on Friday night when he had an off shooting night, and I had said, you know, the one thing I was giving, he had 9 rebounds. He was doing all the little things, and tonight I guess the little things just didn't get done. And that's that consistency that I was talking about earlier. But yeah, sorry, I hijacked that. Joel, it's all you. My bad.
No worries. I have no issue with the bench as well, but I feel like in a game like tonight, and we've seen it, you know, and tight wins for the Celtics, the bench comes up big. One or two people come off the bench, and, you know, as a whole, they end up scoring more than 23 points like they did tonight. That wasn't – like, the starters didn't have it going offensively, and you needed that spark off the bench. Lately, it's been Enes Kanter. You've even seen, you know, Grant Williams do his thing, Brad Wanamaker, same thing. But tonight, I didn't see much. I mean, Tremont Waters, the little bit of minutes that he played, he tried to, you know, get a spark going, and you saw Brad trying to figure out something out there, especially when they were trying to stop Ish Smith. But when the starters don't have it going, like, you got to have that spark off the bench. I mean, I think that's what the Celtics lack sometimes in their losses, especially in close games like this one. Right now, no game comes to mind to me right now other than the first Kings game when they lost by a point when Smart missed the floater at the end of that game. That was another game that I felt like it's like an example of tonight where the bench didn't really have anybody to come off and give that extra oomph. And with Tatum, you know, not doing anything else other than shooting because he didn't really take it to the hole as much as he had been in the last couple of games. No rebounds, no assists. Like, you know, you gotta find a way to get yourself, you know, get involved in the game somehow, especially if you're not, you know, making baskets. If Celtics fans believe that Jason Tatum is, you know, Paul Pierce 2.0, then he's got to start to prove that when key guys are out, someone like Kemba Walker, he's got to step up regardless if he was having a bad shooting night. He's got to find out other ways to affect the game. And I saw Jaylen Brown do that. I mean, he had a double-double tonight. Like, if you didn't watch the game, you just saw the box score, you'd be like, oh, Jaylen Brown – I'm confusing the two. I'm sorry. Jaylen Brown had a double-double. And, you know, offensively it wasn't great, but he went to the line 7 times and made his 7 free throws. And if you look at the box score again, if there's someone who didn't watch the game and you saw Jason Tatum's line, and you're like, oh, that's it, that's all he had, and, he, and you know, it took him, you know, on the team to get up to, you know, the shot attempts to get to that. It's like, wow. So that means he had a struggle. He struggled big time. So you watching it, the eye test, and you're like, you know, he had a bad offensive game against the Hawks, comes back with a vengeance against the Bulls, and then he comes back and he does it again, you know, against the Wizards, a bad offensive night, but this time he didn't contribute anything else. And I'm not picking on Tatum, but, you know, I always hear the excuse from the big the Tatum stand that, oh, you know, he's only 21. Well, then we can't be labeling him the next Paul Pierce if we got to wait a few years for him to get it going. You know what I'm saying? So,
hey, I will say this in his defense. This is a good stat from NBC, too, during the game. This is a guy that was shooting probably 44-45% at the rim early in the year, which is just, like, inexcusable. And he's gone that up to the 60s since in the last 20 games. So tonight was probably the first rough night in a long line of games for him. But, of course, I mean, these are the kind of games they're going to be playing in come playoff time. All the guys on the wing are the key players on this team. All of them are going to be looked upon to have a critical performance on nights like these in the playoffs when they don't, when it's low scoring, when things are getting out of hand. This isn't exactly a matchup right here. I'm late in the game, reflected what they can down the line, especially against a better team overall. And you do worry about a team with so many different hands across the perimeter, and then throw Kemba back into that. Maybe Kemba could have been the best in this game, hit some big shots down the stretch, and set them apart, because not defense much in this outside of Ishmael. I mean, maybe he put them over the top with the 27, but to hold a team like this that had been scoring 120, 130 every single night to 99 isn't terrible, especially with what they were able to do late in this game. I look at what the Celtics have done overall, Joe, of late, and they've bolstered themselves up to, I want to say, seventh in offensive rating. So, I mean, they're among the top 10 offensive teams right now, right there with the Wizards, with the Nuggets. I mean, these are some high-powered offenses that they're up there with. And then, of course, we know this is a top 3 defensive team. So, in recent weeks, the Celtics have been playing at a level that's almost as good as the Bucks in terms of differential. As good as the Lakers, as good as the Mavericks. I mean, they've established themselves with the elite teams in this league. And I look at the roster right now and I'm saying, how'd that happen? It's been the bench, I feel like. I mean, their second unit has been so good these last few weeks, last few months. I mean, really this whole first half of the season in 2019, that they have a first unit, a second unit that can, you know, destroy teams. If another team's second unit can't hang with this team's, I mean, it's just going to be a runaway game. And somehow, some way, the Wizards disrupted that in this.
Yeah, man, it was tough. I mean, no Bradley Beal, and I think maybe they just thought, you know, oh, we got this one. You know, it's kind of, like Joe said earlier in the show, a trap game, but they never led in this game. They tied the game, but they never took a lead. And, you know, man, those are like mental hurdles that sometimes a young team has got to, you know, figure out how to get over. Because, you know, come the end of the season, you know, these games might come back to haunt you in terms of seeding. And, you know, a difference in being a second or third or even fourth seed can make a huge difference, you know, when you're trying to make a playoff run, a deep playoff run. So I'm just looking at the overall big picture. I'm enjoying what I'm seeing so far, but it's just like little things, especially down the stretch, that the Celtics, I feel like they need to figure out. Like, who's gonna be that guy that steps up and takes those big shots when someone like Kemba's out, for example. So, I don't know. I'll hang up and I'll let you guys finish talking. But just wanted to, you know, chime in a little bit because this one kind of irked me a little bit this game tonight.
Yeah. No, thanks, Joel. I appreciate it.
So take care, fellas.
So, Bobby, I'll be your dissenting view on the bench being the catalyst for the level of play that the Celtics are outputting currently. I'm only taking the dissenting view because I think it's more what you're getting from this team right now is arguably what you should be getting. Maybe they're overachieving slightly, But this is what you should be getting. You have two wings that are maturing into what are going to be perennial NBA All-Star players. You have Kemba Walker, who's, if he's not a top five player, but he's a top 15 player in this NBA. You have a stacked team that I believe what we're seeing is what we should be seeing. They're finally a cohesive unit that's getting to work with each other, both first team and second team, understanding their roles. One of the hugest differentials between last year and this year, accepting the roles, which seemed like it was a mental hurdle that last year's team could not get beyond. But I'll give you that the second unit definitely accepts their roles. They're thriving in them. And that is definitely a component to the level of play that Celtics are putting out right now. But it's also the maturation of the starting five and their cohesiveness with each other, night in, night out, similar lineups. Brad's not playing mad scientist, really. I mean, he's rolling similar pairings out night after night after night. And it's because that's what he does. He builds a consistent machine. You know what I mean? It's just that last year you had too many, I don't know, cogs in the wheel, so to speak, that were holding back the machine from running smoothly. I bet you I can get through the entire podcast and I won't even mention his name. but I'm saying that now that you have some of those pieces removed from this team that just didn't quite fit in the puzzle, I think it's the overall maturation of the team, each unit individually, and the players accepting the roles that they have that are really what are the catalysts for this team playing at the level they're playing at now. Did I drop? Aw. I don't know, Bob. Can you hear me? That might have been the end of the show. Well, if we're still on the air, see ya, peeps.
Yep, we are. Oh, all right. So, Joel, you still here with me?
Yeah, I'm still here, but I was just listening.
All right. So, yeah, that'll be our show for tonight. Some technical difficulties at the end. Of course, that's the way it goes here. But a good show. Thanks to Joel. Thanks for Blair for calling in. And thanks to all the listeners. If you want to hear this show on demand, we have a new link tree with all your on-demand options, whether it be Spotify, TuneIn, iTunes. I don't want to favor iTunes. We have iHeartRadio. Go to linktr.ee, Linktree, with a dot between the R and the E, /RealBobManning. You'll get all the on-demand streaming options right there. You can subscribe, listen to this to the next day, and hear us after every single game live here, 347-215-7771. Thanks to HelloFresh, thanks to BetOnline. And the Celtics are in action again Wednesday against the Spurs. They're back home in Boston. What I'm interested in this week, we got some murmurs out of New Orleans. Zion dunking, hitting all his shots in a little practice session. Garden. New Orleans make their trip to Boston on Saturday. New Orleans is in New York on Friday. It's a back-to-back. That might just be on the time that we see Williamson make his NBA debut. So could it be New York? Could it be in Boston on the second half of that? Have to play the back-to-back. We'll see. Something to look forward to later this week. First, Celtics Spurs on Wednesday. Tip time is, let me grab that real quick. 7 o'clock, just like this one, earlier starts becoming more common in Boston. So 9:30 post game Thursday on to Philadelphia, another back-to-back. So join us Wednesday night, Thursday night, 9:30 both nights. We'll be live here for an hour after the game with your calls. For Bobby Manning, Joe Choquette, we will talk to you on Wednesday. Celtics lose 99-94 to the Washington Wizards.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNSRadio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.